We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. You know, it's funny. My first car that I ever had was a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and my mom had left a couple of old cassette tapes in the car, and one of them was The Rascals, and it had Good Lovin' on it. So that was funny that you just mentioned.
Nice, yeah.
Just random thought.
There you go. Some great music there. Now, did I see you were down at spring training for a while?
I was, yeah. I was there last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That obviously included Monday and the spectacle that was the State of the Sox address with the ownership group, which was definitely interesting. They obviously are very interesting to hear from, especially after the big move, trading Mookie Betts.
Well, yes, and they certainly put that to bed, answered all questions, and now nobody feels bad about Mookie being a Dodger.
No, I got nothing left to ask them. I everything was clear, concise, and straight to the point, and obviously we were trying to pull some teeth there. You know, it was kind of what we expected. And I don't think there was going to be much, you know, satisfaction with, you know, whatever was said. I thought it was pretty clear that, you know, with John Henry making an opening statement, making opening remarks, that I think the Red Sox made a conscious effort to sort of steer, you know, some of the questions towards Sam Kennedy, because I think he can sort of handle himself on the fly and get the message that they wanted to get out there, you know, as best as they can out of the three guys that were sitting up there. It was interesting to be in the room, and obviously Red Sox fans feel how they feel. And you know, I will say that John Henry did say, you know, whatever we say up here, it's probably not going to change your mind, but you know, it's our job to try to. And so they tried, but obviously I don't think they changed many minds there with the deal.
Now, it does seem, based on what we're hearing from players, that everybody seems pretty happy with the fact that though Alex Cora is not there, they've got some sense of continuity with a guy they all know and like in Ron Renicky.
Yeah, they definitely have shown, you know, when I was down there, you know, we heard from J.D. Martinez, who's one of the guys that talked, and Andrew Benintendi, and everybody obviously had an affinity for Cora. And they stood behind him. They said, you know, guys, people make mistakes. And so, you know, they stood behind him, but it was pretty clear that Ron Renicky does have some, you know, clout already with his team. And these guys already know who he is. He's been in the clubhouse. So it seemed to be a natural fit, and the players have responded that way too. It's worked so far. Well, you know, we'll see. He's an old school baseball guy. There's a lot on his plate. You know, he'll admit that he's not as good of a communicator as Alex Cora was. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But yeah, the players definitely gave their endorsement for Ron Renicky. So I'm not surprised that he was the guy for the job.
Now, adding injury to insult, Alex Verdugo, the key piece that they got back from the Dodgers, still dealing with a back injury, and it looks like there's a reasonably good chance he won't be available for opening day, but this was not a surprise. Management knew what his status was, or at least had some idea that there was a chance he wouldn't be ready to go.
They knew what they were getting into, and so they, you know, they took the leap anyways. It doesn't sound like it's going to be too far into the season, though you never know. It was funny. There was a video somewhere. I want to say it was my friends, the camera guys from NBC Sports Boston. They got a just a video of a couple fans getting autographs from Verdugo down there. And, you know, sometimes it takes kids to get the best answers, Rich. And this video, the kid was asking Verdugo, like, hey, where are you going to play? When are you going to play? And I think he said, like, oh, it's only going to be a couple weeks into the season, something like that, which if we asked him that, I don't know if he would have revealed that timeline. But he said it to the kid, so it might be the best thing we can go on in terms of how long it's going to take for Verdugo to get in there. But yeah, I think everybody's anxious to see what he can do because he is the key piece in that trade. I will say Ron Renicky said that he was struck by just how energetic Verdugo is and how, you know, outgoing he is already and how comfortable he feels in the clubhouse. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing. He's sort of settling in very early into, you know, a new environment. So we'll see. We'll see how it translates on the field here. as we said, maybe a couple weeks into the season.
Now, I do like the pickup of Kevin Pillar a lot. He's a terrific defensive player, got some power, got some speed coming off his best season in the major leagues. And I feel like this is the kind of deal we're likely to see a lot more of with Chaim Bloom, getting those guys that maybe aren't flashy or showy, but professional players who can fill a role.
I think Bloom has a plan, and I think one of the first parts of that plan is bringing in veteran guys that maybe could be considered maybe under-the-radar pickups, but guys that, you know, really fill out a roster well. And I thought Lucroy, too, the catcher, was another good depth move by Bloom so far. But I had a chance to speak with Pillar, and he's, you know, he's a confident guy. He's it was funny. I was asking him about, you know, geez, we're putting you in the outfield with Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, what's that going to be like? And, you know, he said, you know, it's going to be an adjustment because we're both kind of defensively, we're both kind of alphas, is what he called him and JBJ. We're alphas because they are. They're terrific defensive players. So, you know, there'll be a chemistry that needs to be developed there. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But he's a right-handed bat, too. And that's something that with Benintendi, Bradley, and Verdugo, the Red Sox clearly had a need there in the outfield. And so, yeah, bringing in a guy like Pillar, he'll get it done with the glove. And if he can get it done with the bat, too, against lefties, then that's exactly what they need him for.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Still some questions about the pitching rotation. And now, as seems to happen almost on an annual basis, something's wrong with Eduardo Rodriguez again.
Yeah, not good. The key to their season and the key to any success in 2020 is the pitching, Rich. And as angry as Red Sox fans are and as much as they want to punt on the season because of Mookie Betts being dealt, I really believe their lineup, I think, can be very good. People forget how good Rafael Devers was last year. Take a look at the numbers again. I mean, the kid was unbelievable last year. And same with Bogart. So their lineup is going to be very, very good. It's the pitching. The pitching is what it comes down to. And when you have an ace like Chris Sale, who, you know, has had his own issues getting into camp here, and he's thrown, and he seems to be getting better, but he had the flu and walking pneumonia, and then Eduardo Rodriguez may have something, like, you know, and we'll see how healthy Nathan Eovaldi can stay. Like, this is, there are a lot of questions with the pitching. And, you know, when you deal away David Price, which was funny to say because he's getting paid over $200 million in this contract, but sort of the forgotten part of the Mookie Betts deal, you know, that's what it comes down to, is the arms. And not only the starting pitching, but the bullpen, too. You know, and I know Bloom made a couple of small moves there, too, so we'll see how they pay off. But, you know, who is the closer for this bullpen? Yeah. I thought the original deal when they were going to pick up Bruce Dark Gratterall, he might be the candidate for it, but they didn't. So who's going to be the closer? Like, who's going to have what role? I don't know. The pitching is what, you know, concerns you and will determine how good or, you know, how bad things can go for the Red Sox in 2020.
Nick, it's been kind of quiet around Foxborough of late. Is no news bad news when it deals with the future of Tom Brady?
Yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth every day, Rich. I don't know what's going to happen. And honestly, I don't know if Brady knows what's going to happen. You know, he may have had his conversations already, and he may have, you know, tried to figure some things out, but I don't know. I just don't know. Until we reach mid-March, which we're getting closer and closer, we just don't know how this thing's going to play out. You know, because I could see scenarios where he comes back. I could also see scenarios where there's no chance he comes back. You know, it's interesting to hear some of the rumors of the Patriots maybe being in on receivers or tight end. There was that report today about maybe trying to make a deal with the Ravens for Hayden Hurst, which would be interesting to pick up a tight end. You know, Stephon Diggs is the name that's been floated out there as a receiving target. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen, how things play out. And it's not just with Brady. It's with a lot of veterans. And, you know, you've got a guard in Joe Tooney who's probably gone for big money. You know, Kyle Van Noy, you know, Devin McCourty's up on a deal. Like, there's a lot of business to be done there. And so, I don't know. It'll pick up in the next couple of weeks. But for now, you're right. It's all quiet. Just don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be fascinating to see.
Boy, what a big weekend it was for Providence basketball. A terrific win over Marquette.
Friars, man, they are the most, as Ed Cooley called them, the most desperate team in America, and it shows. And, yeah, it's exciting times around here for us because URI has built themselves, University of Rhode Island's built themselves a great resume. If the tournament were to start today, I think they're safely in the field, sitting in second in the Atlantic 10. But for Providence, they took early season losses to Penn, to Long Beach State, who's like 290-something in the net rankings. It just, they had a bad stretch. But then they've turned it around here. They beat Marquette. They beat Butler. They beat Creighton. They beat Seton Hall. Four straight ranked opponents that have been on their schedule, they've beat. And they got 7 quad one wins. So you're looking for an interesting case for the NCAA tournament for the selection committee. The Providence Friars are an interesting case. And if they keep playing the way they're playing, though, makes things interesting around here. We like it. We like that kind of bracket talk. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And, boy, the highlights I saw, it looked like the dunk was rocking.
Dunk was awesome. Dunk was just awesome. We've had a lot of great atmospheres, a lot of great high-stakes, high-level games this year. It's been a tremendous, tremendous atmosphere. Win or lose, it's been really fun. We had CBS National here about a month ago with Iron Eagle and Raph. Like, that's, ooh. And then this past weekend with the Marquette game, it was Gus Johnson, man. Like, you can't get any better than Gus Johnson calling the game on Fox, Rich. It's exciting. It's really, really exciting. And, once we get to the Big East tournament here in a couple weeks, it's going to be interesting, too. That's why we love college hoops around here. It's great.
Darn right. Well, good luck with all of that. And as always, thanks for joining us today. Nick, are you getting this spring-like weather, too?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go out for a walk. And I sound like an old man, but, geez, it's gorgeous outside. We are, knock on wood, we're getting close to spring. And, man, oh, man, we have been lucky this winter. It's been awesome.
No question about that. Hey, Nick, thanks as always for visiting with us. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
A pleasure as always, Rich. Thanks, buddy.
That is Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence, talking Boston sports with us. Our Boston Insiders are brought to you by The Ground Round. Happy hour pricing from 3 to 6 specials during games. Great service and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.